Evening. I am now on. We are really trying to work hard, and it's going to be a difficult process, I think, getting everybody used to using the microphones and retraining the sound booth personnel and all these things, because we have folks that are using these hearing assisted devices. I think there's four or five of us using it on Sunday mornings now, so we want them, and then we realized tonight that the organ doesn't go through the sound system. So we're going to do our best with that, and eventually maybe we'll figure out how to include that. But praise the Lord that we have these technologies so that everybody can participate in worship. Just a couple quick things to mention. Continue to keep praying for Jeannie Hawkins. This morning, I really didn't give you a big update. I think Dell gave a lot of you an update. I think she had 3 inches of bowel removed in the surgery, and she's going to be in the hospital for 5 to 7 days. So be praying for her and Dell, and there's others that, of course, we need to mention as well, and or just remember as well, but tonight we have Dale Taylor leading songs and Rose Hetchler on the organ, so go ahead. Tonight's one of those nights that you're going to have to be able to flip in your Bible pretty quickly. I won't try to do it too fast, but start off in Psalm 139. We're going to talk about life tonight. It's a hot topic right now, along with racism. We talked about that last week. We learned that we're all part of the human race, human life. We are all together. All lives matter. And we are going to talk about unborn babies tonight. Genesis 9:6. Anybody know that one? Just off the top of your head? Genesis 9:6. If you shed man's blood, by man's blood, or by man your blood should be shed. Familiar with that verse? Okay. Just after Noah got off the ark, God didn't tell Noah, remember the Sabbath. Okay. God didn't tell Noah, go to church. The big law, the first law he established, this universal law, it doesn't matter what nation, what country you're from, he established that murder is against God's law. By the way, I said that verse really quickly. What is God's penalty for murder? Death. There's been some pretty notorious murders throughout history. Stalin, about 40 million people. Either directly murdered or forced starvation, about 40 million. Hitler, they figure about 30 million through the various things. But since 1972 in the United States, abortions outweigh those guys, beat those guys. 55 million abortions since 1972. As we start off here, just a quick question to kind of get our minds thinking. Can murder be forgiven? I only ask this because some people I talk to over the years, they think that somehow if they murder somebody, some people even think, well, if I just take a human life, I'm somehow disqualified from heaven. Is there any murderers in the Bible? Name a couple. David? King David, yes. King David. Cain. Yeah. I don't know if he was forgiven, but King David was forgiven. Any, I guess I should have phrased it that way. Any forgiven murderers in the Bible? Tommy. Moses. Yeah, great. Yeah, Moses. Any others? I had King David, Moses, and I got one more written in my notes. Ezekiel. Okay, I didn't have him written in my notes, but that's a good one. Goliath. I didn't have him written in my notes either. Yeah. Saul or Apostle Paul. Yeah. Great one. Great one. I had those three. Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. When does life begin? Conception, that moment immediately. Now this is supported by these verses, but this is also supported by science. Now, and we're Christians, and we care about science, but sometimes we don't care about secular science that ignores the Bible. But actually, in this case, science agrees with the Bible, okay? God formed you, a human being. He gave us a soul while we were still in the womb. Now, I have a New King James Version. Does anybody have a version that talked about knitting? Anybody have that in this passage? Yeah, that's another translation. Instead of "you formed me in my mother's womb," it says "I knit you together in my mother's womb." It's do we have any knitters in here? Anybody? Carol. I figured you, of all people, I figured Carol. I've never knitted anything. Is that a surprise to anyone? I've never knitted anything. But I do know that if you want to knit something, you have to pick out a particular yarn, type of thread fabric, you know, is there wool or acrylic, and then you have to pick out the colors, and you have to pick out the pattern. That's actually what God's doing to us inside the womb. Okay, God was knitting us there. He is making us who we are. He's giving us a personhood. He's making us human. And it's an instant miracle that happens all at once. It's not like God just bestowed upon us personhood when we were 3 years old. It was immediate upon conception. Now, how do I know this? Well, if Psalm 139 isn't enough, let's look at Genesis 5:3. Genesis 5:3. What are you ladies still laughing about back there? Oh, okay. Genesis 5:3. Oh, I'm just messing around anyway. It says, Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Immediately upon being fathered, that new life was made in his father's image. And what image was his father made in? God's image. Okay? Now, because he was in his father's image, he had another problem, okay? Sin, right? We're all sinners. Instantly upon being fathered, that conception, we're given a soul, and we also are sinners. Psalm 58, verse 3, if you want to flip over a few pages and find that one, Psalm 58, 3. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You know what the modern paraphrase of that verse is? I don't know if anybody has this version. It's, don't let their cuteness fool you. Babies are sinners, aren't they? If you don't think they are, you can babysit my children for just a little while, and you'll find that they are sinners, okay? Children don't need to be taught how to be sneaky, do they? They don't need to be taught how to lie. They don't need to be taught how to be selfish. They are born with these abilities. My wife and I, sometimes we get into arguments. I know that's hard to believe because I'm a pastor, right? No, okay, we get into arguments. But you know what? I've never just come up behind her and started just wailing her in the back of the head. I've never done that. But my sons have done that to each other, okay? It's not like they grew up in an environment where they saw mom and daddy just wailing on each other. They just knew how to do that because they're sinners, okay? Just came out of their wicked heart. From the moment we conceived, we have this bent towards sin. It's not towards right, it's towards sin. Psalm 51 is another passage where David says, "In sin my mother did conceive me." Sin is there at conception. The moral, spiritual stuff is there. The personhood, the soul is all there. So abortion at any time along that path is murder. There's no disputing that. Any angle we look at it from the Bible, any angle we look at it through science, it is murder. Now notice how when people want to sin or want to be involved with sin, what do they often do? They change the name, don't they, to sort of soften the blow. We don't want to call this adultery. We want to call this an affair. I had a family member tell me that one time. He says, "Yeah, you know, I met my wife. You know, I had an affair with my first wife, and that's how I met my second wife. And, you know, I had another affair with this other." I'm like, what? No, it's adultery. It's sin. Don't try to make it sound better. Well, it's not murder. It's abortion. And then what do? They try to throw in some scientific terms. Well, that's just a fetus. That's just a clump of tissue. Haven't you been hearing that phrase lately? Well, that's just a clump of tissue. Okay, then. Well, let's use science to prove our point. At 8 weeks old, that baby has its own blood. It can suck its thumb. It will recoil in pain. If you try to take a blood sample and poke that baby's heel, it will actually flinch. At 8 weeks, as early as 8 weeks, the baby can hear. All the organs are there. The brain is functioning. Science even tells us that the baby is probably dreaming at 8 weeks. Fingerprints are there. And did you know that almost all abortions happen after 8 weeks? It's just sick. Now, I say sick for a reason, because there are endangered species laws, and they're very meticulously written and worded very carefully. It says if you disturb a bald eagle egg, or if you disturb a sea turtle egg, you could be fined or put in jail. So, you know, Joanne, if you're out walking along the seashore and you see some sea turtle eggs and you get down with your phone and you snap a selfie with that sea turtle egg and you toss it on Facebook, you're probably going to go to jail for disturbing a sea turtle egg, okay? But you go into Planned Parenthood, you are put into labor. You have a live baby. They put that baby on a table, and it gets its organs harvested. You're fine. That's why I say it's sick. Disturb a sea turtle egg, jail, kill a baby, totally legal. Now, I know it's always put in this light. If you're against abortion, what are we against? You're against women. Isn't that what it's put, always put? If you're against abortion, you're against women, which that's crazy, okay? Well, you're telling women what they can and can't do with their body. Yeah, I don't want anybody telling me what I can do with my body. You want to bet? The government always tells us what we can and can't do with our body. You can't sell your body and be a prostitute. That's illegal. You can't even get into your car without being told what you're going to do with your body. You have to buckle up. You can't text and drive. You can't sleep and drive, right? You'll get arrested. You'll get pulled over at the very least. Ask me how I know. I've been pulled over for sleeping and driving. And if you get caught, you're pulled over. That's the government telling you what you can do with your body. So we've looked at what the Bible says. We look at what science says. We look even what common sense says. Here's some more science. That baby in a mother's body, it's in her, but it's not her. You know what I mean by that? It's in her, but it's not her. That baby has its own blood, own DNA, own brain. It's inside her, but it's not her. Well, then somebody, you know, if I'm just tracking a conversation you might be having with somebody. What might they say next? Well, I suppose you're even against abortion in cases of rape and incest. I bet you're just such a hardliner, aren't you? Well, I've heard of several women, several stories of women, who went ahead and delivered children out of rape. Now, I can tell you that I will not pretend what it would be like to have a baby like that, but you know what? I applaud them. It's not really about women's rights, because if percentages hold true with who's born in the United States, over half those aborted babies are women. Aren't they? Do you ever think about that? It's about the right of convenience. It's about the right to throw away. Besides, this rape and incest excuse is just that. It's less than 1%. In fact, some people admit that the number is so low it's not even trackable of babies that were aborted because of rape. Now, I know people always drop that, don't they? They always try to use that excuse. They always try to get you. But it's not about that. It's about convenience. I'm actually going a lot faster than I planned tonight, talking too fast. So what can we do? I got a story, I can make it longer. So what can we do? Well, we just recently have done this series on prayer. And what was I constantly repeating over and over? Prayer is never the last resort. It's the first thing we do. So when we are talking and concerned about abortion, that should be the first thing we do, is we go to prayer. Always. Pray for those lives. Pray that God would work in the hearts of people across this nation. Pray that he would work in politicians' hearts and lives. Pray that Christians would rise up and contact their politicians, that they would vote. Pray. Number two, fight for the rights of the unborn. My wife likes to get herself in trouble on Facebook. And there was this, people post news articles and things all the time. And there was this picture of this, a black lady holding up a sign and some type of thing. And she was really victimizing herself. With this sign, and Andrea put something about, you know, I'm tired of racism, and I'm tired of this, the media just constantly pushing that there's these different races. God says we're of one race, the human race, and somebody, he's not a Christian, wrote back and sort of ripping on her and trying to lecture Andrea, really, to say that white men have a privilege that other people just don't understand. And I began to read it, and I was like, what? Okay. And he said, because white men have this privilege, we should stand up. White men should stand up for those that are less fortunate. So he said that he would stand up and fight for this black woman's right to protest. He wants to fight for the underdog because of from his position of privilege. And it's a very liberal-minded logic, okay? Not necessarily opposed to standing up for people with less rights than me, but who has the least amount of privilege, the least amount of rights in this entire world? Who's the weakest person on this planet? The unborn. Okay, that same left-wing, liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call them, that is standing up and fighting for these people with less privilege, the person with the least amount of privilege is swept to the side. Does that make any sense? Makes no sense. And in fact, the unborn, no one is standing up for them. We shouldn't stop with prayer. I think we should engage the culture. We need to point out some of these inconsistencies. We need to write or email or call government officials. I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever done that? Do it. Write, call, email. It may do nothing. I remember one time, one of our, he's retired now, but someone I know confronted them face to face, saw them and said, "Hey, I called your office and told you not to vote for this." He said, "Yeah, we had calls 50-1 telling me not to vote for it, but I had to vote with my heart." May not do anything, but at least you tried. Okay? Flex your rights as an American citizen. Use your vote for the unborn. Here's another idea. How about contribute financially to Fentanyl Right to Life or the Flint Crisis Pregnancy Center? October, and this is where I can make it, stretch it out a little bit longer. October 4th through the 7th, our church, I don't know if it's in the bulletin yet, I didn't notice, we're having a missions conference. And I began asking around to some of the folks from church. Jim Potts thinks it's probably been 35 years since we had a missions conference. And we want to highlight our missionaries and missions. So that first Sunday, October 4th, we have a CBM, Continental Baptist Mission, their president, coming to speak. And then in the evening, we have Tyler Anderson and his wife going to share their ministry. They're out on deputation. And then Monday, we have Wad Haddad coming to be our keynote speaker that night. I believe it's that night. And then I think Tyler is giving a testimony. And every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to have a meal. We're going to share a meal as a church family and any of your guests that you want to invite. And we'll be eating with those missionaries. Tuesday night, I believe we have Mark and Becky Sturken as the main speaker that night. And I think Leroy DeMasellis is giving his testimony. And then Wednesday night, Leroy is the main speaker. And one of the other missionaries is giving their testimony. But at noon on Wednesday, during that conference, we are having a luncheon for everybody. It's going to be a nice, simple, light luncheon. And I've been inviting all the area ministries that I can think of. I've got a Flint Crisis Pregnancy Center there. They're going to be there. They're going to probably have a table, a booth even set up throughout the whole conference, and hopefully somebody there's staff at every night just to answer questions. I'm trying to get somebody from Fentanyl Right to Life and Carriagetown Ministries and Child Evangelism Fellowship and Al Novak, the chaplain at the county jail that we support. I'm trying to get all these local missionaries, and we're going to set up some tables downstairs and just have a nice light luncheon, nothing too heavy or fancy, and I'm going to give them each an opportunity to stand up and introduce themselves and maybe give us some practical ways on how we can help their ministry, okay? Maybe you can block that out if possible and come to that luncheon. If not, come to each of the nights. I'm not really asking you to do bunches of stuff all throughout the year, you know? But wouldn't it be neat if we could just come together that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for that missions conference and just really pray over our missions, really pray over maybe what God would have us do to help? Maybe we need to make it a little bit more practical. Maybe somehow you need to ask the Lord to lay upon your heart a mom who is considering abortion. take it maybe a step further and say, well, tell that girl, I'll adopt that baby. That's scary, isn't it? I just saw some people. What? Now, I'm saying something here. I'm not saying it to brag because I start to turn white, I think, if I had to do this. But my wife and I have talked privately. If one of our brothers got a girl pregnant or one of our sisters got pregnant and they were talking about abortion, we would go to them and say, no, we'll take that baby. Well, you have 4 kids at home already. Yeah, that's completely crazy, okay? But God's laid that upon our hearts. We would beg them to take that baby. My boys, they want to go to Legoland Discovery Zone in Auburn Hills, and they're even like trying to sell people things. You don't have to buy the stuff, pine cones or whatever they try to sell you. But let's say that we adopted a baby because of that commitment we'd made. And we couldn't afford to go to Legoland. When my children hit their 30s or their 40s, they would say, well, Mom and Dad did that to save a life, and it was worth it. But what if we said, no, we'd rather go to Legoland, and that life was extinguished? You'd feel pretty crummy. There's a movement, and the Southern Baptist Church has really caught on big time with adoption and foster care. Now, I know there's some folks in this church that have done those things, but it's something that should be considered still, not off the table. I know some of you are caring for grandchildren and things like that as well, and that's great. Anything to take care of those babies, those human lives. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that your word is very clear on this abortion issue, on this life issue, and we are very thankful that you care the most for human life, humanity. Lord, we are thankful that you sent your son who died so that we didn't have to. Lord, use your spirit to prompt us when we should speak up. Use your spirit to guide and direct us towards some type of ministry that stands up for life. And Lord, we know that if you do that and we follow, we'll see a tremendous blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. We all have personal problems in our life. We've lived on this earth long enough. We've all had personal problems, personal tragedies. But just remember this song. God will take care of you through it all. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Though days of toil with heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When danger fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care.
every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you. You're dismissed.